Okay, bezchus learning that we do this morning, you should have a refuah shlema for Binyamin, Zeva Cohen, Ben Sharon, Rivka. We start today. Today's daf is daf Yates. We start Yudches. We are finishing up today, tomorrow, the first perek of Shabbos. I know that was pretty quick. You blink and then we're done. But but that's it. We're coming to the closure. Now the closure of the perek. Again, what have we been discussing now for the past couple of days? So all the gzeiros between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. So we went through Yudches Davar. Yudches Davar took us from Daf Yadal to Daf Yazayin, and then yesterday we moved to Daf Yudches. Now Daf Yudches, we're also on gzeiros, but different types of gzeiros. Well, let's be more accurate. Meaning, it's not just a gzeira of Beis Shammai, but it's also a chiddush of Beis Shammai as well. What we've been discussing over the course of yesterday is that Beis Shammai not only includes that you have to keep Shabbos and that your family has to keep Shabbos and that your animals have to keep Shabbos, but Beis Shammai also includes in that your kelim. The kelim need to keep Shabbos as well. So Beis Shammai says that any activity, any action where your kelim is going to be, a kli is going to be involved in a malacha, so that's prohibited on Shabbos. That's Shitas Beis Shammai. Now, we don't pass like Beis Shammai on this issue, meaning as opposed to Yudches Davar, which we followed like Beis Shammai, but here, no. Here we all go like Beis Hillel. Now Beis Hillel says that your kelim are allowed to do malacha. So that means that if your kli is in a situation, in a scenario where it's involved in a malacha, so that would be fine. I mentioned this point yesterday, and it's going to be clear today over the course of today's daf as well. You can't tell the non-Jew to do malacha with your kelim on Shabbos. That's called Amir La'akum. That's a prohibition, a rabbinic prohibition. As I mentioned yesterday, so some say that it's a biblical prohibition, but it's probably not. So it's a rabbinic prohibition. That's Amir La'akum. That you can't do. But if you hand any of your kelim over to a non-Jew, so you give your clothing to a non-Jew to launder, or if you give a car to a mechanic to fix, or anything, any kli that you hand over, so it can have malacha can be done to it on Shabbos. The kelim, the anatomic kelim, don't have to be Shabbos observant. Good. That's the starting point of the whole discussion. That's what we saw yesterday, and we saw that yesterday vis-a-vis a Mishnah. According to Beis Shammai, now I get to ask the question again, like I asked yesterday, but now we are equipped with the answer. So according to Beis Shammai, so how do you light Shabbos lecht? And according to Beis Shammai, so how do you make your cholent? Because you're making your cholent, that means that your food and your pot are involved in the malach of Bishol. And if you're lighting your candle, that means that your lamp is involved in the malach of Havara. So how do you do that? So it's a strong question. It's a really good question. And so the Gemara asked this question. The Gemara was on the started formulating the question on the bottom, Yudches Amud Aleph, and then moved to the top of Yudches Amud Beis, and the Gemara gives an unbelievable answer, which says, according to Beis Shammai, Mafkir Luhu Afkure, that you're Mafkir, that you basically declare those Kalim to be ownerless, meaning my Kalim can't do Malachan Shabbos. Those aren't my Kalim. They belong to somebody. Oh, no, they don't belong. They are simply ownerless, Hefker. And so according to Beis Shammai, it's a very funny Shabbos prep. Meaning, aside from doing all the other Shabbos prep, Beis Shammai's family, what they would do is, right, the last thing they would do before Shabbos is, you see that cholent pot over there? I declare myself ownerless over that cholent pot. Okay, fine. Which, good. In other words, that it is a strange conclusion, and I admit that it is, but that's how it would have to work according to Beis Shammai, based on the Shita of Beis Shammai. So again, as I pointed out yesterday, that's not how we follow. We know Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel, the halacha is like Beis Hillel. So therefore, we don't follow that way. It is certainly interesting. We moved on in the Gemara, and then we introduced ourselves to a couple of concepts, even within the Shita of Beis Hillel, that says that your kelim can do malacha, which means that we are allowed to put up the cholent pot before Shabbos, and we're allowed to light the Shabbos licht before Shabbos. But even according to Beis Hillel, there's some considerations. Number one, we learned yesterday, afsha milsa, meaning, or the Gemara's terminology is hashmas kol, that you can't, it can't produce a sound. It produces a sound, so that can't be. Meaning, you can't do that. So, as I mentioned yesterday, if the dishwasher is making a lot of noise, so then your dishwasher can't go off on Shabbos, even by timer, because then it's hashmas kol. Now, I'm not, you know me well enough to know by now, this, I'm not offering psak halacha over here, that's not my job. Just giving an example of what is hashmas kol. The Gemara's example that it gave was the turning of the wheel, meaning that they had a wheel that was turned by water and water power, so renewable energy. There we go. Here, I stay current. So the right here today in Boca Raton. Well, actually, tonight's foreign policy discussion, so they don't get to talk about renewable energy tonight. So anyway, as the mill turns the water, though, it's going to make a lot of noise. So the Gemara says, no, that can't be. That you can't do that because of a Shema's call. And now, as we're about to learn right now, we continue in the Gemara as we left off from yesterday. And now there's another consideration as well. So where we are in the Gemara, it's a good question. I'm not really sure. So we're somewhere on Yudches Amud. Yeah, somewhere in Yudches Amud Beis. There we go. Phil, you got it. Hashta de Amar Mar. It's about 15 lines from the top of the Amud. Okay, first word in the line is Vitocheach. Okay, now, when it comes to food, there was another concern that we learned about yesterday, which is chitu gechalim, which means like this. I put food on the pot before Shabbos, on the fire before Shabbos. So did I do anything wrong? So the answer is no. Well, I'm going to qualify that in just a moment. But the answer is no. Meaning that even though the food is going to be cooking over the course of Shabbos, but I didn't do anything on Shabbos, it's just my kalim can do malach on Shabbos. So at this point in time, we're going to say, no, you didn't do anything wrong. However, the Chachamim realize that this is food, and we're Jews, and you know, with Jews' food, we tend to get a little nutty, and watch the show in about an hour from now. So the you'll see excellent evidence to that. So so what's going to happen is if I put food which isn't fully cooked on the fire before Shabbos, and then I realize, oh my gosh, my guests are coming soon. And in other words, we're talking about the person who is sensitive to Shabbos and knows that in Shabbos you're not allowed to stow coals. That's a malach of Havara. But it's hard because you have guests coming tonight. And so you're going to be very tempted to stoke the coals. Not because of any interest in violating Shabbos, but simply because you're going to lose yourself and the guests and the food needs to be done. So the Chachamim were concerned, Shema yichate b'gachalim, that perhaps you're going to come and stoke the coals. Now, I didn't mention this yesterday. Let me mention it today. It's important. It's really important just to understand the discussion. Our Gemara is not going to breathe a word of this, but it's just, as a context, it's important to realize. We're going to learn the third parak of Shabbos soon enough. Third parak is going to be here before you know it. In the third parak of Shabbos, we're going to learn machlokas between the Chachamim and Chananya. The Gemara calls him Chananya, meaning not Rabbi Chananya. Okay, and they argue over the following: if the food is not fully cooked, so I can't leave it over an open fire on going into Shabbos. That's a given. Shema yichate b'gachalim. If the food is cooked, so then you can leave it over an open fire going into Shabbos because there's no longer concern. At what point? When is that line where the food is not cooked versus the food is cooked? Okay, so the first we'll start with the opinion of the Chacham. The Chacham give a very simple position, which is, yeah, the food has to be fully cooked, meaning done, meaning not half of the way, a third of the way, three quarters of the way, fully cooked. You read your recipe. If the recipe says call for 2 hours and 350, so it has to be 2 hours at 350. In other words, it has to be fully cooked. If it's not fully cooked, according to the Chachamim, you cannot leave it over an open fire going into Shabbos. Okay. Huh? Then there's a second opinion, which is the opinion of Chananya. Now Chananya says, no, that as long as the food is somewhat cooked, meaning edible cooked, so then you can leave it over an open fire going into Shabbos. Now, the Gemara gives an interesting way to describe that position. That position is what's called Michael ben Drusai. Michael ben Drusai is that as long as the food is partially cooked where somebody's going to eat it. Now, it's interesting because that somebody happens to be ben Drusai, who happens to be a thief. He has a hazardous occupation, right? And part of his job occupation requires, the hazards of his job require that he has to eat on the run. Okay? And you should basically steer your children away from such an occupation for many reasons. Okay. So the but because at least for him and his ilk of people, so the food is edible, so therefore Chananya says that as long as the food gets to Michael ben Drusai, you can leave it on the fire going into Shabbos, even an open fire, because at that point in time you're not going to be tempted enough to stir the coals in order to get the food going more. So far, so good. That's a basic machlok between the Chacham and the Chanan. You're going to hear that machlokus again. Actually, when we get to the third parak, we're going to spend a couple days on this machlokus. But that's the basic machlokus. So now, let's now rewind. Let's go back to our Gemara over here. Our Gemara over here basically is now dealing with this consideration. The Hashta de Amar Mar, Gzerish HaMichata Begachalim. We now have this concern of Shama Yichata Begachalim. So the Gemara says, Hi Kedera Chaisa Shar Lanuche Erev Shabbos, Imcha Shecha Betanura. Let's say I take a raw piece of meat. Raw, meaning not partially cooked. We are not in the debate between Chananya and the Chachamim. We mean fresh, raw meat. If I put it on the fire right before Shabbos, so that's okay. My timer came to the Chazilah Orte, Asuche Masach, Daite Minei, Va'osei Lachtu Abechalim. Because you know this is not for tonight. There is no way this raw meat is going to be done by this evening. It will only be done tomorrow. The Gemara's description is you'll have Hesech Hadas, meaning you won't even think about it. You'll forget about it, and you will not be in any way tempted to stoke the coals. The Gemara says, if you do that, that's fine. Uvashil Shapidami. Now, if it's fully cooked, so then we're going to say the same thing as well, meaning you're not going to be tempted to stoke the coals. Now, it's interesting because the Gemara over here, as I mentioned already, the Gemara doesn't utter a word of, are we following like Chananya? Are we following the Chachamim? And meaning it's not clear which position the Gemara is taking. Bashil v'lo bashil. Now, let's say it is somewhat partially cooked. Okay, now, according to the Chacham, that would mean anything below fully cooked. According to Chananya, that would be anything under Michael ben Jusai. By the way, I didn't make this point clear. What exactly is Michael ben Jusai? Meaning, how cooked is Michael ben Jusai? So, it's either a half or a third of what the recipe calls for. So in other words, if it's 2 hours of cooking, so it's either an hour or a third. You write a third of 2 hours.
But it's edible.
In other words, but it's edible. Okay, machlokus, why do I say a half or a third? It's a machlokus between Rambam and Rashi. So that's why I say that. So bashel v'lo bashel, so if it's partially cooked, aser. So then it would be prohibited, meaning you can't put that food on the fire going into Shabbos. Because now, since it's in this transitionary period of not raw, but not cooked, somewhere in between, so then Friday night you're going to be tempted to stoke the coals, therefore you cannot leave it over an open fire going into Shabbos. Visha de begar mechaya shaper dami. However, if you throw in a raw piece of meat, fine. Shaper dami, that would be fine. That would be totally okay. That would be acceptable. Okay. Now, we had this discussion yesterday, but the Gemara now is going to continue the discussion today. What about a real tender piece of meat? Meaning it's so tender, you wouldn't open the oven. Now, you have to understand, really to understand these Gemaras, you got to understand what their cooking devices were. Meaning when I say their oven, so first of all, you understand they didn't use gas. In other words, how their fuel was coals that they put on the bottom of the oven. And what they would do is that they would open their ovens and they would actually, you know, poke in and stoke the coals in the bottom of their oven. And their oven was a very simple mechanism. It was just simply a box with a lid on the top and the coals were on the bottom of the box. Okay. So if you have a hashadam called me dekashle zikalomegale, hibisra de gadya, if it's really tender meat, and why is that important? Because you don't want to open the oven. For tender meat, I know I sound like a cooking show right now, but for tender meat, you open the oven, it's gonna spoil the meat. So you already are not interested in opening the oven. And furthermore, sharik. Sharik means is that you sealed the top of the lid of this oven. So now there are two reasons why you're really not going to open the oven to stoke the coals. Number one, the meat is tender. And number two is that the lid is sealed. So shapir dami. So that's fine. Meaning, so for there, under such circumstances, it would be okay. Debarcha velo sharik. Now, let's go over two other considerations. Let's say barcha means it's not tender meat. Rashi describes it as being ayol gadol. Ayel Gadol, it's old ram. So old ram. I haven't eaten old. Yeah, it's a tough. Whatever. It's a tough meat. Velo sharik, and the oven is not sealed. So now there's really no inhibitor. Nothing's going to stop you from opening up the oven and start poking around in the coals. And on top of that, the oven's not even sealed. So they're also. So they're prohibited. And so now the Gemara is going to play with some middle ground. So in other words, you know, we have the two extremes. Tender meat in the oven sealed, that's fine. Tough meat and the oven is not sealed. And so for tough meat, you open the oven, don't worry about the meat. The meat will be fine. So if it's a tough piece of meat and the oven's not sealed, so that's a problem. Let's say better. It's not a problem. That's awesome. Now, Degajiv Elosharik and Debarcha Visharik. Now, let's go and play with one of the two variables. So let's say it's a tender meat, but the oven is not sealed. Or, let's go the other way. It's a tough piece of meat, but the oven is sealed. So in other words, I only have one of the two factors that would prevent me from wanting to open the oven. So Rav Ashi Shari, Rav Yirmi Amidifti Aser. So it's a machlokas. Machlokas Amarayim. If I only have one variable. Well, the Rav Ashi Shari. Now, according to Rav Ashi, says that it's mutter. Fine. How about the following? A Mishnah. A Mishnah which we're going to see together soon enough. The Mishnah says that you can't roast meat or eggs unless it is fully finished and roasted while it's still Friday, meaning before Shabbos. So the Gemara says, so what are you going to do with that Mishnah? So the answer is very simple. Hasam debarcha v'lo sharik. There, I'm missing both variables, meaning the meat is tough, so I'm not worried about opening the oven, and the oven is not sealed. So there, I don't have either factor, so that's why the Mishnah says the meat has to be fully cooked before Shabbos. But lu yitzu, had you had one of the factors, i.e., the meat was tough meat, or the lid, the oven was sealed, so then it would be fine. Good. That's version number one of our discussion. Ikadami, the Gemara goes to another version. Degaja ben sharik ben lo sharik shabedami. If it is a gaja, if it is a tender meat, whether it is sealed or whether it is not sealed, it's fine. Debarchaname visharik shapirdami. And if it is a tough piece of meat and it's sealed, that's fine. Kiplik debarcha v'lo sharik. Or if it's a tough piece of meat and it's not sealed, meaning you're simply missing both factors. The Rav Ashi Shari. Sorry, no, you're not missing both factors. Meaning it's a tough piece of meat, so therefore you're not worried about the oven opening. The Rav Ashi Shari, Rav Yirmiyahu Difta Asar. Ula Rav Ashi Shari, and again, the Gemara is now going to go through the same exchange. According to Rav Ashi, he says that it's mutter. And it's, what are you going to do with the Mishnah? So what do you do with the Mishnah? Well, the Mishnah says that the meat has to be fully cooked before Shabbos. Hasam bebisra agumre. There, we're talking not about meat in the oven, we're talking about meat right over the coals. So the coals are staring me right in the face. Nothing is preventing me from stoking those coals, and therefore, it would be us because there's really very little preventing me from stoking the coals, and I will be too tempted to do so on Shabbos, therefore it's us. I'm Ravina Haikara Chia Shapidami. Raw pumpkin. Raw pumpkin is a killer to cook. Meaning it takes a long time to cook, so therefore, Kevin Dekashlu Zika, sorry, other way around. I'm sorry, I'm wrong. In other words, it's like tender meat. Sorry. It's sensitive, it's like tender meat. So Kevin Dekashlu Zika, Kibisu Degaja Dame, and since it's like tender meat, once I put in the oven, I'm not gonna want to open the oven, I'm gonna be inhibited from stoking the coals, so therefore, just like tender meat over the in the oven is fine. So too would the pumpkin in the oven as well be fine. Okay. Beishamay omrim ein mochrin. Now, we move on to the next part of the Mishnah. Now, so what we discussed so far was the putting food in the oven before Shabbos, having your oven do malacha for you, and then we talked about making sales before Shabbos. Right, you remember the Mishnah says we're back on Yud Zayin Amud Beis. Beisham Arumim Shorin Diyov V'Simanim V'Kashinim El Kadesh Yishor Mi Bo Yom. Beisham Arumim Ein Osten Onish Al Pish L'Toch HaTarnel Kadesh Yivelu Mi Bo Yom. Sorry, it's the next one. Ein Porz Mitzudos Chai V'Ofas V'Dagim El Kadesh Yitzol Mi Bo Yom. Beisham Arumim Ein Mochrin L'Nochri V'Ein Ta'ani Mimo V'Ein Magbin Alav El Kadesh Yagil Amakum Karov. So Beisham says, if you want to sell something to a non-Jew going into Shabbos, he has to be able to A, purchase the item, obviously, and B, take it home before Shabbos. Okay. Now, that's strange. Meaning, even according to Beis Shammai, that's strange. Once you make the sale, it's not yours anymore. Correct. So why would Beis Shammai say, and he's got to get back to his house before Shabbos? Once the sale has been done, item now has been transferred out of your possession to his possession, so we shouldn't have any Shabbos concerns anymore. So the Gemara discusses, Tanu Rabbanan. Until he gets home. And Basil says, until he gets to the wall of a city. Now Rabbi Kiva says, no. What do you mean the wall of a city? Rabbi Kiva says, until he gets to his own. Until he leaves your house. Meaning, as long as he gets out of your house before Shabbos, it's fine. I'm Rav Yosef Rav Yehuda, Ahin Ein Devar Rabbi Kiva, Ahin Ein Devar Beis Hillel. Now, Rav Yosef Rav Yehuda says, don't get confused. Rabbi Kiva is explaining Beis Hillel. It's not a new Shita. He's simply explaining Beis Hillel. Lo ba Rabbi Kiva, lo farish Devar Beis Hillel. Fine. So, in other words, when Beis Hillel says, until he gets to the wall of the city, no. What really Beis Hillel means is, until he leaves your house. Okay. We are still left needing an explanation. Okay, good. Meaning, now that we know Beishita's Beis Hillel, and Beis Hillel, obviously, I mean, for lack of a better term, Beis Hillel makes sense. Beis Hillel basically says, look, you could do whatever transaction you want before Shabbos, sell him whatever goods you want before Shabbos, just make sure he's out of your house by the time Shabbos begins. Okay? And even
then,
yeah, even then, right. Phil did a good job reading my mind. Even then, why does he actually need to be out of your house? Meaning, once you made a transaction, it's his. He could stay. Maybe he can have some dinner with you. Okay, even that requires some explanation. But according to Beit Shammai, why is it that he has to make it back to his home before Shabbos? Meaning, even Beit Shammai says that your kelim can't do malacha. It's not your kli anymore. Once you sold it to him, it's done. It's not yours. So Rashi explains, and it's a short Rashi. It's a very quick Rashi. So Rashi explains over here, you know what Beis Shammai is worried about? In this particular case, obviously, it would be fine, even according to Beis Shammai. But the problem is his appearances, because essentially, look, we're basically making a transaction. But it doesn't have to be, meaning it could just simply be that I gave him an item and I could say, here, take my item. You want to borrow it over Shabbos? You want, or if you want, you want to just work with it over Shabbos? You want to be a custodian over Shabbos? In other words, once we do this type of exchange, so then, according to Beis Shammai, what would come out then is that in any other type of exchange, not a transfer, but just simply me handing it to him, so it could be that people are not going to see the differences. Understand that if it was a transfer of property, that's fine. But people won't understand if it's just a simple, here, hold this for me. So people would then come to the conclusion that that's okay. And so we're worried about, as Rashi explains, hachlafa, meaning I may confuse this case with other forms of transactions. Okay. Now, don't get confused. We're going to now talk about getting rid of your chametz before Pesach. Now, we have this thing that we do, what's called heter mechira, meaning we sell our chametz to a non-Jew. That is a relatively modern phenomenon of selling our chametz to a non-Jew. The Gemara never talks about it. The Gemara never makes mention of sell your chametz to a non-Jew and buy it back. That was that occurred later on, where basically, you know, we have more food, we store more food, and that's for another time, another discussion. This is the mechiras chametz. Here we're just simply now talking about the selling off of your chametz. Beis Shammai says that a person cannot sell his chametz to a nachri unless he's going to finish it before Pesach. It's a Right. It's a tough position. Look, Beis Shammai always, you know, he generally speaking had with him tougher positions. Okay, the Beis Shammai was more of a hardliner. So Beis Hillel Amrim calls Manshim Motel Ochla Motel Machra, and Beis Hillel says, no, as long as you can eat it, as long as you can eat it, you can sell it. And Rav Yehuda Omer, top now of Yitzchak and Aleph, Kutach Habavli, Chomini Kutach, Chasalim Kol Lama Yom, Kodem Pesach. The Kutach Habavli, the Babylonian dip. You're going to see this come up in the Gemara time and again. If you're not familiar with Kutach Habavli, you'll see by the time you finish Shas, you'll wonder how many times has the Gemara mentioned the Kutach Habavli, the Babylonian dip. It was like a cheese dip with some honey in it and croutons. Okay, and it stayed for a while. Meaning, you have to remember they didn't have refrigeration back then. And meanwhile, this is a dip where you just kept going back to. You put it up in your pantry, and it stays for a long time. So the Gemara says that here you have your kutach habavli, which has croutons in it, which means that it is chametz. You can't sell it to a guy within 30 days of Pesach. Okay, and as Rashi points out, this position of Rav Yehuda, who is he following? Beit Shammai. Meaning this is Beit Shammai speaking right now. Because Beit Shammai says that you have to know that he finishes it before Pesach. So, and why 30 days? I think we all know the answer to that question. Rashi here speaks it out. Because Shloshim Yom Kodem Achag, Sholem V'Dorshin Behilchos HaPesach. You got to start getting involved in the Halachos HaPesach a month before, i.e. Purim. At the Purim Seuda, you start talking about Pesach. Okay? So that's why, already 30 days before Pesach, you can't sell your Kutach Habavli to a non-Jew. Now again, we don't have to worry about that, because we don't subscribe to Beis Shammai, we subscribe to Beis Hillel. Now, over here, by the way, the Gemara here doesn't give a lot of information away. What's wrong? According to Beis Shammai, why can you not sell chametz to a guy before Pesach? Right? Meaning, this is not a Shvisas Kalim. This is not that your Kalim have to be Shabbos observant. That's a different discussion. So what's the concern? What's the consideration over here? So again, we could suggest what we suggested earlier. Well, if I sell him, meaning, it's true, I made a transfer, but what if I don't sell it to him? What if I, you know, by food, it's so hard to say lend food, right? Okay. Right, or just hold it, right, hold it for me, thank you. Meaning, this transaction may lead to other transactions where there wasn't a transfer of property, and maybe that's why Beit Shammai is more strict in these cases. Tenor Rabbanim, we're continuing the Gemara on the top of Yates, Amid Aleph. Nosim Mazonos Lefnei Kelef Bechatzer. You have a dog in your courtyard. It's your dog. Okay? And on Shabbos, you have to feed your dog. Meaning, we'll learn later on, is it Masechta Shabbos or is it in Beitza? Okay, whatever. We'll learn later on, somewhere in Shas, that for wild animals, stray animals, you cannot feed them on Shabbos. If they're not looking for you for food, so you can't feed them on Shabbos, by rabbinic decree. But if it is your animals, where they need you and they're looking for you for food, so then you are supposed to feed them on Shabbos. You have to feed them. Huh? And, right, the Gemara says, it was the Gemara Brachos, right? We saw this Gemara. Yeah. It has to be, in the Ishma. Right, so you, right, they come before you do. Right. So, Tana Rabban Nosim Mazonos Lefnekel, Bechater, not Lovi Yotze, Ein Nizkak in Lo. Now, once you give them the food, so then you don't have to be oppressive. Meaning, let's say that your dog decides he wants to take his food and eat it out in the street. So you don't have to now start chasing your dog. No, don't do that. Don't do it, right? Don't do that. Shabbos, you can't, right? You can't, you know. You know you can't transfer from the chatzar to the Rosh Hashanah. We're like, what are you doing? And send the dog back to boarding school. You don't have to do that. So, Einis Kakan Lo Kayotze Boi Nosim Mezonos Lefnei Anachir Bechatzar. And similarly, if you have a Nachri, a non-Jew who is in your courtyard, so you could also give him food. And if he decides that he then wants to take the food and take it out to the Rosh Hashanah, so you don't have to stop him. Now, Hasulam, the Gemara says, okay, Now, we're obviously, I mean, let me state the obvious, even though I shouldn't even need to state it. We're obviously not saying it's the same, but, right. We're not saying that, but we're just simply saying that from a Shabbos consideration standpoint, you don't have to worry in either case. But the Gemara just wants to know, what did the Nachri teach us that we didn't already see in the case of the Kelev? So, So the Gemara says, look, by the case of the dog, it's your dog, he's expecting you to feed him. So therefore, you have to feed him. And there, you don't worry about him taking the food out. But when it comes to the non-Jew, meaning you don't have to feed him, he's not expecting you to do so, so maybe, perhaps, your food shouldn't leave your chatzer. That's the havamina. And then the maskana is, no, even there, in that case, it would be fine. Now, it could be that the maskana is also, although the Gemara, again, the Gemara says so little, so you're not 100% sure. I mean, this is why there's so much discussion about the Gemara. Maybe the maskana is, maybe you are supposed to feed him. Meaning, right, meaning it could be that the Nachri who's coming to your house, and right, he's a poor guy, obviously. So it's more than just a nicety to feed him, meaning there's a real expectation to do so. Tan Rabbanan. Lo yasker adam kelav anachri be'er Shabbos bedal v'hei mutter. Don't rent your kelim out to a non-Jew on Erev Shabbos, but on Wednesday or on Thursday, that's fine. Friday, you can't rent it out, and Thursday and Friday would be fine. Chayot sebo, ein mishach, and igros bi'ad nachri be'erev Shabbos. You can't send letters out with a non-Jew on Erev Shabbos, but bedal v'hei mutter. But on Wednesday and Thursday, it's fine. Okay. Amar alav av Rav Yosi HaKohen v'amri le'a av Rav Yosi HaChasid shalot nimtza k'sav yado b'yad nachri me'olam. He never put his correspondence in the hands of a non-Jew at all. Okay, now, everyone understands. I'm going to stop early a little bit today, even though we barely scratched today's daf. But because of the simcha, so we're going to stop a little bit early. But let me just discuss this well and do a good job explaining this, at least the first part of this brisa. Don't rent your kelim out to a nachri. Now, who's talking now? Is this Beit Shammai or is this Beit Hillel? It sounds a little bit like Beit Shammai, right? In other words, Beit Shammai says your kelim can't do malacha. It can't really be Beit Shammai. Because what do the brisa say? But on Wednesday or on Thursday, it's fine. What difference what day of the week you made the contract, the rental contract? If he's going to use it on Shabbos, right, you violated Shvisa's Kalim. So this is in Beit Shammai talking, right? And so says, not so says me, so says Tosfos. Tosfos, you take a look at the Tosfos of Lo Yaskir, Tosfos says this is not Beit Shammai talking. So this is Beis Hillel talking. So if this is Beis Hillel talking, what's the problem? So in other words, on Friday, you can't rent your Kalim out to a guy. But on Wednesday and Thursday, that's fine. What difference does it make? What day of the week you make a rental contract? And if this is Beis Hillel, so then, he doesn't hold to Shvisas Kalim. What's the issue? So let me introduce you to a concept which perhaps you know already, but it's an interesting discussion. It's what's called Schar Shabbos. Schar Shabbos basically means the following. Let's say I do service, right? I'm in the service industry. And I provide a service, right? Babysitting, for example, right? It's a good example. It's the one that comes up all the time. So now let's say I babysit. I mean, that's funny. I babysit, right? I hardly parent. So so let's say I babysit on Shabbos, right? A couple hires me out to babysit on Shabbos. So therefore, for 2 hours, I babysit on Shabbos. So can I bill for the work I did on Shabbos? Now wait a second. Before everyone come up with an answer right away, think about it. I didn't violate Shabbos, meaning all I did was just watch a child. Okay. So can I bill for those 2 hours? So this is what's called Schar Shabbos. Min haTorah. What's the answer? Min haTorah. Sure. Why not? I didn't violate Shabbos. Meaning, granted, I earned money on Shabbos, but I wasn't mechal al Shabbos, right? So, but as you can imagine, though, the Chachamim stepped in, the Chachamim said, right? In other words, that's business on Shabbos. So the Chachamim said no. But even when the Chachamim say no, it's not an absolute no. What there are ways to do is to go around, circumvent. In other words, built into the Gzeira Chachamim, you are ways of you allowing to work I mean, when I say work, I mean, you know, service, you know, services, provide services on Shabbos, and be able to bill for those services on Shabbos, right? I say this tongue in cheek, right? The rabbi works on Shabbos, okay? The chazan works on Shabbos, right? And they all get paid. Okay, fine. The caterer works on Shabbos. Okay, the mall works on Shabbos. Good. So we have, right, there's many examples where you know that they're getting paid, and you know they're getting paid for services that are rendered on Shabbos. So how do you bill? So one of the chief heterim is what's called havla'a. Havla'a means, basically, is that as long as I do services not only on Shabbos, but on Shabbos and before Shabbos, so then what you can do is then you can bill for the totality of your service. You really shouldn't itemize. You shouldn't say, I'm billing, you know, for the couple hours before Shabbos this, and for the couple hours on Shabbos this. You shouldn't line item. But what you can do now is you can bill for the totality of your services. Like in my YU days, so what I used to do on Shabbos is I used to work for one of those group homes when I was younger. So, and that's basically what we did, meaning that, in other words, I got paid for Shabbos. In other words, but not for just the work I did on Shabbos, but, in other words, I worked before Shabbos, I worked after Shabbos, and this is what's called Havlah. Tosus explains that's basically what's going on over here, meaning that when you rent your Kli out, you're now getting paid for, not your services, but the services of your Kli. So if you rent it out for him on Friday afternoon, and take it back right away on right after Shabbos, essentially you're getting paid specifically for usage over Shabbos. So what you should do is design the contract so that you're now going to rent it out on Wednesday or on Thursday, so now you can create Havla'a. So now it's not just Shabbos, it's Shabbos plus Friday. Shabbos plus Friday and Thursday, right? So in other words, so that we now can absorb the rental contract of just not just Shabbos, but Shabbos and others as well. Good. That's how Tosfos explains the Gemara over here. It works out. Okay, we'll stop here today. I know we're behind. Tomorrow we will look to start much more on time. We're going to make strong move to catch up. And big mazel tov to the Goldberg family. And let's all be mishtatef in the Simcha.